Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we go to the ranch at Rock Creek in Phillipsburg, Montana, an all-inclusive guest ranch. From Billings, my husband and I drove over the rivers and the mountains and through the pine forest to come to a secret paradise. No signs led here. At the ranch at Rock Creek, there is what I term the gift of anticipation, where thought, tremendous insight has been put into the entire package of a guest stay. From the accommodations to the food to the activities, all wrapped up with a beautiful ribbon called hospitality. Hospitality influences how we feel and remember an experience. We have a more positive response and a memory when we are treated with thoughtfulness and kindness. In this show, we will talk to guest services manager Kat Johnson, general manager John Martin, and then head into the dining room to talk to executive chef Joshua Drage. We are at the front desk talking to Kat Johnson as she works, while in the background, guests are socializing in the great room, a cozy gathering space anchored by wood beam ceilings, a stone fireplace, and a wood bar crowned with a pair of long steer horns. Johnson shares the ranch's history.
So in the late 1880s, well, 1862 was the Homestead Act. 1880s is when a lot of people actually came here to Montana, and that's when this particular plot of land was homesteaded at that time. What drew people here was Granite County had one of the largest silver claims in the country, and so people came and started new lives out here. After the homesteading took place in Granite County, the ranch itself passed from different owners to different owners, but I feel like a little piece of each owner is left here and is celebrated here. Jane's Cottage, she was the daughter of one of the third family that purchased the ranch, and they worked it as a cattle ranch, and she took over after her father died, and so that cabin is named after her. We have Camp Roosevelt, which has our glamping tents, and that's named because one of the previous owners actually worked for the Roosevelt administration. So a little bit of every owner has left their mark here, and we work really hard to preserve that.
The ranch is located on 6,600 acres at 5,200 feet above sea level, with a motif of luxurious rustic Montana. The property can accommodate up to 125 guests, with a granite lodge of stone and wood at the heart of the property, housing 9 guest rooms, along with 3 historic barn suites, 10 luxury canvas glamping cabins, and 7 private homes. Located a short distance from the Beaverhead Deer Lodge National Forest and the Anaconda Pentler Wilderness Area, Johnson shares how the current owner, Jim Manley, came to the ranch on Rock Creek.
Owning a ranch was a lifelong dream. He was looking for a specific place. It had to meet certain criteria, that not being very close to a major highway, needed to be near a ski hill, needed to not have any like poisonous snakes or bears or anything like really infesting the area. And so he came and he found this place and fell in love with it. It really spoke to him. He at first operated as private family ranch and then decided to open it up to the public and built additional buildings and accommodations to accommodate that. It's just grown every year since then.
The ranch at Rock Creek is an all-inclusive guest ranch. This literally means you can come here with nothing and still be able to enjoy all the activities and experiences that provide a sampling of what Montana holds. Johnson explains.
All-inclusive for us is when you pay your nightly rates, that includes all food, all beverages, except for like reserved alcohol, and then 2 activities per day. And so that includes fly fishing, shooting, horseback riding. It's easier to explain what doesn't come with it. Anything off-ranch excursions and like things like fishing licenses that need to be paid by the guests for the state of Montana.
Well, and I think what you do here well is you basically give people a taste of Montana, and there is a bit of everything. So you've described some things, but there's about 20 activities included. Is that correct?
That is correct. When I say shooting, I'm talking about trap and skeet, rimfire, pistols, shotguns, archery, horseback riding. We have several trails that you can take depending on your skill level or the view that you'd like to see. We're situated in between like that fire, the John Long and the Pintler Mountains. So we have exquisite views. It's just a little bit of everything, really. It is quite the taste.
It's one of those Montana wonderlands that I see. We're in the middle of nowhere. And this is in a picturesque location. But one of the things that you do really well here, and I call it the gift of anticipation, your staff is able to anticipate our every need even before we know we need it. How do you train staff to actually carry forth these duties?
I think we try to hire the right people. That level of guest service is almost innate or natural for them. That consideration of other people. We do try to look for people who have a background in hospitality or customer service. And we train them to just always listen, from our drivers to our bartenders to our massage therapists. They're constantly just listening. And if they hear Mr. Johnson likes lavender, we'll probably try to find something with lavender just to make that personal experience, just because everyone's so different. We get guests from all over the country, all over the world, and if we can make that personal experience better for them, it creates a stronger memory and a better memory, and they come back and they stay with us again. So that's our goal. We train them just to listen well.
Along with listening and paying attention, General Manager John Martin believes that the people of Montana and Montana itself inherently hold the magic of hospitality. Martin says,
one of the things that I like to say is get out of Montana's way. People are here to enjoy something that is absolutely amazing. Above and beyond that, I have moved around a lot in the last few years in the country, lived in a lot of different areas of this country, and what I found to be true, and I'm from New Jersey, to be totally honest, but I really would find it true that Montanans are the greatest, most hospitable people and most genuine people in this country. And the nice thing is that's true of either those that grew up here in Montana or those that moved here. No one ends up in Montana by accident. They've chosen this because they love it. You know, I still get a kick out of the fact that every time I drive down the road, everyone waves. Everywhere I go, they appreciate that. As long as you're here to experience what Montana has to offer, everyone will meet you with open arms.
In the 8 years the ranch at Rock Creek has been open to the public, it has received numerous recognitions. It is a member of the Reloux Chateau Collection, an association of more than 550 landmark hotels and restaurants operated by independent innkeepers, chefs, and owners around the world. It is part of the National Geographic Unique Lodges of the World, and it just received the Forbes Travel Guide 5-Star Ranch Award. Keep in mind, ranch and 5 stars don't usually go hand in hand. So how did this happen? John Martin explains.
The vision of our owner in getting this started, purchasing it, you know, over 8 years ago, but transitioning it over 8 years ago to a luxury ranch resort, is to then start to grow and figure out what this is. And what's been done in this 8+ years is nothing short of amazing. And starting something that really is grassroots from the bottom up and how we get it to be what it is has been amazing. The key to that is that, in my opinion, I think it's been that let's keep this genuine, let's make sure that we do it right, and no matter what it is, whether it's the bikes, the horses that we're picking, the vehicles that we pick you up from the airport, the way that our employees look as they pick you up at the airport, the way that they interact, all of that, every single bit is important. The way the roads look and feel as you walk home from dinner back to your accommodation, all of those things are so important to the experience here, and nothing has been overlooked.
The ranch at Rock Creek receives consultation from Forbes Hospitality Solutions. In order to earn the ratings, Forbes Travel Guide anonymously inspects thousands of hotels, restaurants, and spas. In the first part of Flavors Under the Big Sky, I stepped away from the topic of food because I feel other factors influence the way we experience a meal. Hospitality is a key ingredient. If we are in good company, in a comfortable room, and receive good service, we have a better experience, with perhaps the food tasting much better. In the second part of the show, join me in the dining room of the Granite Lodge at the Ranch on Rock Creek. In this part of Flavors Under the Big Sky, we talk to the ranch at Rock Creek's executive chef Joshua Drage and day chef Tom Gillespie. We have a drink at the Great Room Bar and then enjoy this night's ranch dinner. Let's begin with Chef Drage.
Give me some of your history in the cooking world. Have you had training, or was it your grandmother that influenced it, your love of food?
My grandmother's, indeed. I don't know if everybody starts there, but I sure did. My mom helped hone that because she did not like cooking, and so I would cook and she would do the dishes and was happy doing that. But I really looked to my grandmother's because they were from Utah, and so they instilled in me a lot of the techniques that I'm using today, but that's gardening, preserving, storing, which was on my mom's side of the family. And then on my dad's side of the family, living in northern Utah, her thing was Dutch oven cooking, and that's a big thing in Utah. So they would do these huge Dutch oven dinners up Logan Canyon, probably more like lunches up Logan Canyon, and invite all their friends. But they would have 24 Dutch ovens going at once up there, which I thought was like the coolest thing. And so like all these Dutch oven recipes that I have, and a lot of them I have now, have been passed down from my grandma and to myself. And so that's one thing that we do here in Montana as well. And so it was one thing that I had never done in a restaurant, but immediately when I got here, I was like, well, we got to get the Dutch ovens out and we got to start cooking Dutch oven food because that's going to work in Montana. And it was my grandma Dixie who taught me to do that. I've always loved to cook, and that was one thing that I've done my whole life. Even I can remember in middle school just taking a home ec class, and that taught me how to cook, and then I started replicating those dishes at home. So I cooked my whole life all through college, graduated from college, and that's when I decided I would take it as a career versus another path and just letting cooking be a passion. And so I felt that I was cooking is dynamic enough that I could get into it and just see where that career path would lead me. So I went to culinary school in 2002 in Arizona and graduated 12 months later and started cooking professionally and have been doing so since then. Worked in Arizona, Missoula, now Phillipsburg.
But it might be Chef Drage's boyhood that made him appreciate the great outdoors and his life now under the big sky.
I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska, though, and just south of Anchorage, Alaska. And so that's where I went to high school, graduated, and then left for college. And I've been back since then, and I really love Alaska, and I'm a huge fan of Alaska, and so glad my brother still lives there so I can go visit. But I really love cooking in Montana, not just the landscape, but the community and cooking in Montana, that I kind of just have been growing stronger roots here that I don't know if I'll be able to let those go.
It is those roots that bring grounding into a community, building relationships with food and with people that nurture appreciation.
When you live like in a local area, locally, and Alaska, Montana both represent those really well, because there's a combination of what is growing there, but it's also what you harvest there. So, I mean, the salmon, halibut, of course, you're harvesting a lot of those and eating a lot of those things. But then it's moose, it's caribou, it's seal, it's all these things that you're living off the land essentially and sharing because they're so abundant up there. And so there's a real community of that sharing in Alaska, and especially rural Alaska. I mean, I've lived in rural Alaska, and it's funny when I always remember I moved to this small town in Alaska to work for the Forest Service in just one summer. And literally within half a day of getting off the ferry, people are asking me if I have salmon, if I need salmon, what my stocks look like. And I just got off the ferry like within half a day, you know. And so there's this real community aspect and sharing aspect that comes in rural Alaska.
Chef Drage has learned to live and honor what ingredients are immediately available to him. Throughout the week, there is a variety in foods and styles, from casual to more intimate. Fresh-made pastries appear at 6:30 in the morning, followed with breakfast an hour later, with lunch at noon and social hour at 6. For dinners on Mondays and Fridays, there is a chef tasting menu with a rodeo barbecue on Tuesdays and Dutch oven dinners on Sundays.
When I look at the menu out at the Ranch of Rock Creek too, we built a week-long menu, so 7 days a week, built around different experiences, which have these kind of more celebratory large group events and then to smaller intimate dining experiences as well. And I think that that's indicative of what it looks like to feed people on a ranch in Montana, because you really have these great large gatherings in the summertime. The people come together. That's in Montana when you come together as in when you can go outside, or you can be in a barn and they're cooking off of grills, and they have all these salads of local things that have been growing that really create this experience. And it's not just like what's on your plate at that point, but it's who you're eating it with, who you haven't seen for a while. And then you also get in Montana, you get these really great intimate dining experiences, I think, as well. You have those moments in Montana. You have these large gatherings in Montana. You have really refined dining in Montana that I think is interesting. We'll take that in some of our tasty menus where we're doing 5, 6, 7 courses, and you'll look at something like caviar, oysters, and you will think, why are you serving this in Montana if you really are speaking to ranch dining? But what they want is they want these treats, these surprises, these special things that they might do over and over again, year to year. And that's because they have a friend or they have a family member that might live on the coast. And so whenever they come visit, they have to bring like 5 dozen oysters with them, because they can't come to Montana without those 5 dozen oysters. Because the people, when you live in Montana, you have all these things that you would probably trade back and they would take back to Seattle, like elk or bison, something like that. But they really look forward to that experience and that annual experience of these things. And so that's where we put oysters on the menu, because that's just that special surprise or that real cherished event or present that comes from somewhere else and warms the experience in Montana. And so those are some things that we try to replicate here.
The surprises and treats make dining at the ranch on Rock Creek special. But day chef Tom Gillespie, who bakes the morning pastries and cooks up the breakfasts, shares his view of cooking at the ranch.
We have people that come from all over the world, and they eat at the finest restaurants in the world. French Laundry, Momofuku, Daniel, New York. Like, the list goes on forever, obviously. But we really don't try to play into that, because we realize that they do eat everywhere. They've had the best of the best. We just really try to focus on ingredient technique and just let things just shine on their own. We don't have a lot of secrets. We cook with great technique and great ingredients.
The kitchen tries to source locally. This way, there is a connection between the chefs and the food.
One thing that I do when I'm in the dining room and speaking to our guests, come from all around the world, as I'm just talking about the community. I'm talking about who produced this, where it came from, and what their philosophy is in doing so. That not only adds value to our guest experience, because that immediately starts to create this sense of place. And that's a thing that has started for them as soon as they've stepped foot in Montana. It's like, where am I at? What is it? What is all these textures? What is all these flavors? What is all these experiences that come together that creates a sense of place for them? We want to live in that moment, and we want to create that for them. And so it has to do with where the food comes from and who is producing that food.
Because the seasons are short and Mother Nature often challenges, Chef Drage has adopted ranch cooking practices of preserving and pickling.
But if I wanted to speak of vegetable and stuff, I had to start preserving, I had to start storing things, and I had to lengthen that amount of time that I could speak of something. I had to connect to where we are right now, and that is where things just start to grow. And so I wanted more to talk about, so we had to add that component. You will see that those components are pretty popular in American cuisine right now, with preserving and pickling and things like that. We wanted to add that component into it, and it works for that dining. So you will see a lot of those pickling, preserving components on our menus, and that's how people on a ranch would live in Montana as well, because there is a growing season and there's this amount of abundance that happens during that season. And then the reality is you consume as much of that as you can at that moment, but you also want to preserve and store and save that, because you not only want that surprise in December, January, but you also need that nutritional component as well. So if you're going to pickle beets and you might have 24 jars, each one of those jars, for one, importance goes up as you work through the jars. And so that becomes that experience part of it that your body will remember and your mind will remember as those little treats that happen throughout the year. But also your body would crave that nutritional content in January and February of what you have in that jar.
From pickles, sour and salt add to the flavor profile, and crunch to textural sensations. The food chef serves is multidimensional. The pickles also add an element called umami, or savoriness. How does this kitchen produce food that not only entices taste, but sight, smell, touch, and even hearing?
Really look to challenge the cooks, challenge myself. One of my pet peeves is sugar and sweetening things, because it happens to be the most addictive substance on the earth. And so when people put sugar and they sweeten things just to make them taste good, it works every time. But I think to challenge yourself with a lot of other things that is happening will help a dish elevate to a higher level. And so again, we're just taking ingredients and we're trying to express them in the best possible way. And so when we get first of the season right now, we're getting things grown in Montana. So we don't want to over-manipulate those things. We want to express them in the best possible way, which right now in Montana, when things just start to grow, is very simply. And so you can taste the flavors. Your body is tuned and pre-tuned to just these green shoots that are coming up right now. So nothing's going to taste better than that. So it doesn't. You don't want it to overcomplicate the dish right now. And I think that you get something to elevate a little bit further with some of these other things, with a little bit of like sour vinegar type things or umami flavors or savory. And you can kind of get that expression to, if you would, to just elevate a little bit further, because right now as well, everything that's grown is bringing its own sweetness with it. So there's no point to like oversweet.
So the key is to honor ingredients with what they naturally bring to the table. Then taking another step back is to honor those people who produce the food. The ranch at Rock Creek makes an effort to appreciate those who bring product into the kitchen and then into the dining room.
We really started this from year one that I was out here. It was an event that's changed throughout existence of it, but it was really to just to thank the farmers and the ranchers and the producers for what they do, because that really is like the backbone of our cuisine is what they're creating. And so I didn't want to be anonymous on my side of it to where I just like speak about these people and speak about the families and speak about the, what they're creating. I wanted to be part of it and I wanted to exist in it as well. And so I wanted to celebrate them. We just invite them out and we cook for them. We've had a couple events where we invite them out, cook for them, put them up overnight. We've done events in Missoula where we'll cook for them there, but it's, we want to do what we do, which is cook. We cook for people, we create experiences. And so they're under no obligation then to just show up and enjoy themselves and enjoy what we're going to present to them that particular day. And this helps me to get to know them.
From care of the producer, Chef Drage ultimately has to care and cater to the guests. Special diets because of health reasons or cultural reasons need attention.
But in reality, it's just taking their life serious in our kitchen, because the things that they come with are dietary or cultural that is important in their life. We just need to take important in our kitchen, because we're the only restaurant they're going to eat in out here. They're not going to go across the street if they have a bad experience here. And if I'm focused on great experiences, it's easier to keep it in the realm of being great than to not. And so it's something that we want to take serious, and we just want to present them with what we think that they will enjoy that falls under their dietary restrictions. And so if we're going to do a 6-course tasting menu and then you're going to be vegetarian, then we'll just really focus on the produce. We'll focus on vegetables, grains, legumes, nutritional components that would aid their vegetarian diet. And we're not going to give them a veggie burger to go with a 6-course meal, because at the end of the meal, we want them to have the same experience. So if it's a couple and the husband is vegetarian and the wife is not, we want them to speak after the meal about the great experience that they just had. And they want them to speak about the same thing, even though their dietary restrictions would keep them on a different path.
The other cog in the wheel of experience and dining is the staff. Whether it is a fishing guide, a wrangler, or bartender, these people interact with the guests. The staff is the biggest cheerleader, and the more information they have about what guests are experiencing, the better they can cheer. Day chef Tom Gillespie shares.
We try to have our staff eat in the restaurant, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, at least once, so they can experience the whole experience, for lack of a better term, the food, the ambiance, the wines, if you know, obviously if they're of age, and the beers, and so they can actually experience what the guest experienced, because it's really important, because a lot of times the guest will ask, like, how's the hamburger, or how's this, you know, the quinoa salad, and so we want them to know what things taste like, and what's on the menu, and where it comes from. Because there is a lot of guest interaction with our staff. They'll be out fishing for a full day with the guests or a horseback ride. So we want the wranglers to know, you know, the fly fishing guides to know what is actually going on in the dining room.
We now go into the enchanting great room, decorated in elegant ranch with a large stone fireplace, log accents, and comfortable leather couches. I mosey up to the bar to have a cocktail before dinner and order a seasonal libation called the Prairie Violet. Bartender Brooke Leninger tells us about the drink.
This is the Prairie Violet that we just came up with just about a week ago. It was a 3-week process. We had started with a guest, actually, who had asked for a gin gimlet, but she wanted maybe some mint in it. Then we experimented a little bit with the creme de violet, which is a violet liqueur. It's made from violet flowers in Austria. So it gave it this blue, purplish hue, but the color was a little bit muddy, but the flavor was fantastic. So we experimented a little more and got this gin here, which is also made from iris flowers. So both of these are very floral, giving it that flavor and color. This gin is blue also. So we experimented with that, but the color still wasn't as purple as we wanted. We had a Forbes trainer out here who was very adamant about getting this on the menu, so we kept experimenting with, we tried pomegranate reduction, we tried more creme de violet, and it just wasn't there. And finally, we muddled some blueberries, and that's what gives it the final purple color. So it's the creme de violet, the iris gin, a little bit of lemon juice, simple syrup, and muddled mint and blueberries with a lemon twist.
The drink is pretty with its lavender color hue and essences of flowers, herbs, and freshness of summer in the mountains. I raise my glass to cheer life under the big sky. Now join me in the dining room where we are seated at a table for two by the window. The room embodies a sampling of what a ranch house might be, with varying log patterns integrated with stone. Native American fabrics grace log stick chairs, while framed historical photos hang on the wall. Whereas last night's chef's tasting menu with six courses was elaborate, tonight's ranch dinner was more simply elaborate. Holly Grubb, the service manager, describes tonight's feast.
Start with a small cheese course. It's Cascadian Creamery Sawtooth cheese. It's a cow's milk, very soft. We're going to serve that with a Marcona almond pesto, pomegranate reduction, and a little fresh blackberry. Next is our salad course, organic red leaf lettuce, a little buttermilk chive dressing, a little marinated grapes, and then some crumbled Wisconsin blue cheese. Next, you have a choice of entrees. So we're going to do beer battered Alaskan rockfish, vodka beer battered with a house cut fries, wedges, a little carrot scallion slaw, fish sauce, and red onion, or our braised Montana elk that comes with Parmesan polenta, some sauteed escarole with currants, roasted cipollini onion, a gremolata, which is a parsley and lemon zest, fresh parsley, finished off with Tucker Family Farms Sentinel cheese. Oh, and dessert this evening, it's our homemade apple crisp with a little fresh house-made vanilla ice cream.
After taking my last bites of apple crisp and resisting from licking the plate, I believe the passion of the kitchen was conveyed onto the plate. Chef Dredge says,
just love cooking in Montana. I don't really feel like right now there's a better place. I mean, there's all these great places, and I just probably would say the same thing if I cooked in California. But right now, I would like California chefs to be envious of people cooking in Montana and what they have available to them. There is a tremendous opportunity here right now, and that comes from our growers, comes from our producers, comes from rural Montana. And each year is just like a landslide of new products and new families getting into this and seeing that somebody else is being successful doing it, and they want to get on board. They want to make it happen. They want to live rurally in Montana, and they want to find a way to carve out their niche. And so when we get to celebrate those things, it just makes me really proud to be a chef in Montana.
Guest services manager Kat Johnson moved to Montana to join her husband's family, who has lived in the area for five generations. Perhaps she best expresses her appreciation of living under the big sky.
I lucked out in getting to live in a postcard.
Then how can we resist General Manager John Martin's invitation?
So what I'd encourage you is, no matter where it is that you can find your way here, Montana is something that no one that I've ever met has ever left with a apathetic feeling of.
Many thanks to the ranch at Rock Creek for the Montana hospitality I will never forget. Thanks to the Montana Restaurant Association for introducing me to the ranch at a Pro Start fundraiser. I am forever grateful to Parker Brown for the theme music. For more information about Flavors Under the Big Sky, go to ypradio.org. I'm Stella Fong.